A week from this Friday at 11 p.m., Tracy Ullman's show returns to HBO for its second season, featuring sketches that offer a glimpse of British life for many of its inhabitants, including some Tracy Ullman favorites, Dames Judi Dench and Maggie Smith, Camilla Parker Bowles, and a few new ones like Adele and Jerry Hall and the Murdoch family. The Wall Street Journal calls Tracy Ullman's show a caustic cause for celebration, and it is with great pleasure that I welcome the many Tracy Ullmans back to our show now.
Oh, it's Hi. Lovely to see you, Leonard.
Hello. Are you surprised about how well American audiences have responded to this very British show?
It's great. I mean, I initially made by the BBC, but I don't see myself as British. I mean, I think it's a real mix of people within there, and I think everyone is so into world figures and world politics right now, and I play Angela Merkel, Mutti. Mm. It's a German chancellor, and I think everyone's aware of her. And
but there are also jokes that only people who are aware of the situation in Wales or in Scotland.
Yeah, my Welsh library sketch. But I do tap dance, and everyone loves tap dancing wherever you are, Leonard.
And then there's Claire Balding, the apparently ubiquitous English sportscaster.
Yeah. But then she's somebody that, you know, absolutely English, you know, just does everything, hosts the Olympics, horse racing, BBC, you know, and but she's just somebody that wants to do everyone's jobs. And somebody at HBO said to me, I really like the sketch with the lady that wants to do everybody's job. Uh-huh. So it didn't matter that she didn't know who Claire Balding was. So
she stops everybody to ask them about
yeah,
what their life is like.
Kind of like that.
Do you find that Americans the Brits laugh at different things? Or is funny just funny?
It's funny just funny. You know, I think we've always had this incredible, you know, exchange of shows and humor, Americans and British, and it just continues. I mean, it's funny to look back at, you know, things that, like All in the Family, that originally came from England, you know, and was with Africa. And you know, that we've always exchanged all that. And The Office in England became The Office here. And it's no, it was funny. It's funny.
When I've asked some British actors why British actors these days do American accents so well while in the past they didn't, they said, well, we grew up with American movies and television shows.
Yeah, I think we do. I mean, gosh, you know, I'm always struck at Damian Lewis and Gary Oldman in particular. I mean, he's been here a long time ago. There's really great accents. And what's that show, The Affair? You know, that actor, I couldn't believe he was English. And I think we do it a lot better. Because people used to do period accents, Leonard, years ago. And a British person went, dirty, dirty, dirty. They do that old movie thing, you know, like a James Cagney, you know, you're going to the stars, you know, yeah. And everyone used to do that. And it was like period accents. You've got to find, you know, do the contemporary voice.
But in the case of Britain, where the accents are so revealing, they reveal class, they reveal where a person is from. And actors are really held to a very high standard. If you're doing a Yorkshire accent poorly, your audience knows.
There's a lot of posh actors at the moment, too. It's like in England, it's like, there's not a lot of Michael Caine's and Albert Finney's coming up, mate. They're terrible. A lot of them went to Eton, love. But they're good. They're wonderful actors. But, you know, we need a few more working class fellas again.
You began as a singer, didn't you? Now, I remember when I lived in England, there would be an interview on the BBC, and both the interviewer and the singer would have very heavy British accents. And then the singer would go into a song. I was walking along, minding my business.
Yeah, yeah. God, Leonard singing is fabulous. Let's dubstep that. Go again, Leonard.
No.
No.
But you understand what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, I know. They do that.
Suddenly everybody had an American accent.
Everybody's singing this way. And then they go, oh, lovely. When it like, yeah, I know. Everybody's like that. I know, but now you like got Adele, who I impersonate in the show. Oh, he's lovely. She laughs like that, Adele. Does anyone notice? But she would never do a sing with an American accent. You wouldn't do that anymore. We don't have to do that anymore.
Well, everything is well, first of all, Adele is being imitated in this country because she's such a huge success.
Yeah, oh, she's amazing.
You did a show for HBO called State of the Union in 2008 about a day in the life of the United States. Did that show make it big in England?
No, never got. Where did it get picked up in? No, it didn't get shown in England, but the format was great. It was a great idea to imagine going around the nation, you know, and that's when I started Tracy Ullman's show. It was I would visit bits in the day in the life of Britain. So the format it got exchanged, as you know, things often do. But that was a particularly newsy kind of thing, and it was very parochial. Mm-hmm. I think in this incarnation of a show that I do, they're always called Tracy Ullman something, mm-hmm. aren't they? It's like, oh, not her again. It's
because you're insecure. You have to be
Oh, really, Leonard? Oh, now let's do some analysis. Well, or why don't you sing again? This show is more like global hub, you know. I mean, I've got, you know, in this scene, I've got Jerry Hall and Rupert Murdoch. There's always like figures that everybody knows.
Now, I was wondering about that family dynamic.
I imagine they're like the Brady Bunch.
But I was wondering because to some degree, in reading about your personal life and your childhood with the complicated family situation, I was wondering if you drew upon any of those things in showing us what that very varied Murdoch family must be like. Multi-ethnic.
I was thrilled to see Rupert marrying again, and somebody as highly visible as Jerry Hall, and of course being me, I thought, wow, let's impersonate them. But I hear that they really enjoy it. And actually, Liz Murdoch, who's one of his eldest daughter, came up to me. No, Prudence is the eldest, actually. The one who lives in Australia. And she said, she came to it across a room, and I thought, oh my goodness, what's she going to say to me? And she said, we just want you to know that the family approve and we like what you're doing. We've got a sketch about our family. I went, that's great, Liz. I'm really happy.
Although the jokes are all about how he's going to constantly write them out of the will.
And yeah,
every
and
time
he's
it looks like he
Viagra
might.
He's choking on Viagra in one sketch. I know, but it's like, well, they think that's funny, you know, but he's always had a good sense of humor, Rupert. So that's been good fun.
And speaking of national senses of humor, it's sometimes said that the Germans don't have one. So how have they reacted to your impersonation of Angela Merkel as a secret sex kitten and the object of desire for all the men who surround her?
That she's sex bomb, and if everybody thinks I'm dead sexy. It's been great. I licensed recently some of the clips to the German news, and they say funny things, though, someone said. I like the Germans do have a sense of humor. I liked it when they said about the British during the Brexit negotiations, they are the sort of people that wear socks in the sauna. And I thought, yeah, that's funny. They think we're funny. We think we're so funny. They think we're funny.
You mentioned that a clip of one of the Merkel skits was aired on the news in Germany?
Yeah.
For what reason?
Because they were fascinated that a British girl would want to impersonate Angela Merkel, and the makeup's extraordinary. And I'm sure my accent's not great, and they probably think I'm a bit odd, but they really like it. Actually, some show in England contacted the Bundestag and asked what the Chancellor thought of my impersonation, and we received a very, very nice letter back saying, the Chancellor is currently at the G20, but she wants to know that she thinks that's quite brilliant, that the impersonations. And I'm like, Angela knows who I am. I think she's great. She looks a bit beleaugered now. But there you go.
She's going through a rough time. Women prime ministers are going
through
a rough time these days.
I've got Theresa May to impersonate in England right now, you know, and she sounds quite hysterical. We want a strong and stable government with a strong plan for exiting the EU. And I am that strong and stable. And you're like, you're hysterical. Theresa, calm down. You can hear it in her voice. It's terribly hard to do this.
You have made Angela Merkel a singer. Could you make Theresa May into a singer?
I can make anybody into a singer, Leonard, but not you.
No, I'm a lost cause.
Don't forget the singing thing with Leonard. Dubstep with Leonard Lopez. Yo. Sorry.
I was thinking about those inside jokes. The Scottish leader has kidnapped J.K. Rowling. You laugh at
me. I love being Nicola Sturgeon. She came over here. She did a few talk shows. And they talk like that, the constitutional pattern, nobody goes, what's he saying? It's terrible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like watching Trainspotting. You ever watch that movie? I had to translate for everybody in the audience in the cinema. We were going, what are they saying? I like Nicola Sturgeon. I like being Nicola Sturgeon. She's a smart cookie.
I'm speaking with Theresa Ullman, who's Theresa Ullman's show.
Theresa May. Tracy Ullman.
Tracy Ullman. Oh, boy.
There's a lot of T's around.
Tracy Ullman, the Tracy Ullman show is returning to HBO for its second season. running at 11 p.m. That's a little late, but...
It's okay. It's a sophisticated hour. It's a niche show. It's after Bill Maher's... You know, it's a good slot, and it worked for me last year. And I'm on HBO, so I couldn't be happier.
The first season featured a character you created, Karen, who was an aging hippie finally released from a Thai jail after 28 years. Mm. And I was thinking, isn't that about the amount of time you spent living in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Was that?
I mean, yeah, it was kind of to show that on BBC One. It was like I'd been away for a while, and... I had a bedroom that was still had pictures of like Duran Duran on the walls and, you know, Spandau Ballet and Cyndi Lauper. And yeah, so people thought that was like me making a comment on me being back and, you know, working in England. I mean, I've always come and gone to England, but just working there again. Yeah, that was a...
She had to make a few adjustments after being away for so long.
Yeah.
Did you have to make those kinds of adjustments going back to Britain? Did you have to get your accent back?
No, I mean, I'd always come and gone. I just hadn't worked there. It was pretty amazing to work for the BBC again after such a long period of time, Leonard, because it had changed so much. Now a lady called Charlotte Moore runs the channels pretty much. You know, she's the controller of BBC One. And back when I'd been at the BBC, it was really five guys in bow ties that had, you know, fought in the Second World War and, you know, the goons and Peter Sellers, what? You know, they were all doing that sort of humour. And now it's the girls are running the show and it's pretty cool. Well, they're being allowed to be a part of running the show.
Well, I would have thought that Britain, having had a number of prominent queens over throughout its history, would have been more open to having women run things than some countries. And I've noticed that many of the former British colonies, India, for example, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Liberia, all have had women as leaders. Do you think there's any... But not the United States, a former colony.
No. But yeah, well, we almost got it last year, but there you go.
Well,
Kim Kardashian's going to do it for us.
You think Kim Kardashian's going to make it?
It's going to be great. In 5 years, she'll be sitting here with you singing. And because it's that crazy a world. Mm.
So I will be asking her why she has decided to run for president.
No, you'll have to say serious. Oh, no. See, we're laughing, but it could happen.
Let's take a little break. We'll come back with more Tracy Ullman. The Tracy Ullman Show, as I said, a week from tomorrow. It's second season on HBO, starting at Friday at 11, following Bill Maher's show. And we got a lot more to talk about, so just stay there.
Thank you.
We are back with Tracy Ullman. Tracy Ullman's show is going to start its second season a week from this Friday, a week from tomorrow at 11 p.m. on HBO. I mentioned earlier that you had success as a singer before you broke out as a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And you start off the show with singing with a brush as a mic.
Yeah, because that's what I did as a kid, and it was all a bit of a laugh, the pop business, Leonard. I was in a sketch show for the BBC at the time, and I remember just being at the hairdresser's, and someone leant over and said, "Do you want to make pop records?" And I said, "Sure, I'd try anything." And it was a brilliant record label that was very cool called Stiff.
Stiff?
And their T-shirt was, "If it ain't stiff, it ain't worth a fill in the blanks." And I thought, I want one of those T-shirts. And I... just, you know, went along. Suddenly I was a pop singer, but I wasn't, you know, Madonna, Cyndi Lauper. I wasn't Chrissy Hynde. And so they said, "Now we need to make a video." I said, "Well, I feel like a bit of a phony. I'll sing into my hairbrush, you know, like I did at school with my school friends." I got my school friends to be in the video. And
hadn't your sister done something like that for your parents?
Yeah, we used to do a show in our bedroom, and every child sings into their hairbrush. But I did it on national TV, you know, so it's kind of, was sort of, it was a character. It was a bit of a sketch. But I did get to sing some really terrific songs.
And you had a number one hit.
I had number one hits, and I had a number eight hit here with They Don't Know, written by the late, great Kirsty MacColl. And beautiful song. I love that song to this day. She was an amazing songwriter. So I played it out for a couple of years and did a lot of fun shows and worked on MTV and got a bit of an introduction. And then I was doing other things. I remember being doing a movie with... Sir John Gielgud. I was on and Meryl Streep. I was in a movie of plenty. And Sir John Gielgud said to me, "My friends tell me you're a pop star." And this is so weird. You know, I working with Sir John Gielgud, trying to be really serious. I said, yes, I wear a pink Lurex miniskirt and I sing into my hairbrush, Sir John. He went, oh, marvellous. I'd love to hear it. And I thought, this is just, I'm so much fun. I get to do all these different types of things. So I'm eclectic.
Well, that's obvious because sometimes I wonder whether that's really you. I remember we talked about this last year when you came on to talk about the first season. And I told you that I wondered how you got Judi Dench to do those bits because you look exactly like Judi Dench. Now, I'm amazed how you can be fat, you can be thin as different characters. The makeup artist must be extraordinary.
Yeah, I really have an amazing team. It's you know, it's the costumes and the padding and the, yeah. And Floris Schuller and Vanessa White, who are currently doing the makeup, they're incredible. I mean, the detail is incredible.
Because it's not just doing the voice.
No, I mean, he gets the soul at Floris when they're gelatin masks now. When I first used to do these makeups, they used to be latex, and it was like trying to talk through a bathroom sponge at times. But now they're so fine, and they fit your skin, and it's just thrilling. And, you know, when he made me look like Theresa May and Angela Merkel, I mean, it's very fine work. But, of course, I have to have the mannerisms and the voice, but it's just complete immersion. It's fascinating.
And then, okay, so in some cases you have to look like the person you are impersonating. In other cases, you're creating characters.
Yeah.
For example, how do you come up with the look for Patricia the Christian?
Yeah.
The woman who should keep her mouth shut about her religious affiliation.
I know that. I like that. It's like, you know, the Lawrence Howarth who wrote that sketch, he was just saying, you know, it's sort of like that conversation. Something we thought about this year, you know, it's like everything's going well on a blind date. You know, how are you? Oh, you like Italian food? Oh, you like, yes, yes, as a Christian. Stops to the dead air kind of thing. So we did this character. That's not a lot of prosthetics.
Year,
that was just very simple. That was kind of
people
more like
wouldn't
me as
allow
me.
Her to be a godmother to their child because she's a Christian.
Is this based
on somebody?
No, it was just something a lovely idea that somebody came up with, and it was good fun. But that's a very simple look for me. That's you know,
well, what about
just a blonde wig and a small crucifix, and here you go.
What about Judi Dench? She must have seen your impersonation of her as a rather nasty, petty criminal.
Well, she's...
who gets away with it because she's a national treasure.
Well, we wanted to be Judi. I love Judi. And I she's been very, very, very charming and very thrilled to be portrayed as somebody naughty. And she's commented on it, which is great, and I've sent her presents, and she's pretended she's broken them. But we portrayed her as a shoplifter. She said she does have troubles once she was in Marks and Spencer's a few months ago, and she said the manager looked at her and he said, I've got my eye on you. Oh, God. And she's like, I don't really steal things. So I'm causing a few problems.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to reveal what goes on in this year's shows. But she will have a hard time walking through a park.
Yeah, she runs across a few problems. She goes a bit too far this year, Judi, but she gets through it. But you'll have to watch to find out. And then Maggie Smith gets involved with her. And you know I love to be Maggie. Maggie and Judi together, dear. You know, now she's not on Downton Abbey. No more of that bloody corset work. Cut me out of the corset, I'm done.
Through the magic of editing, you can do a scene in which Maggie Smith and Judi Dench.
That's the old Patty Duke, you know, technique learned in America. I took it back there and I put a couple of dames in a sketch.
What do you mean when you say that your impersonations of celebrities is a kind of a Trojan horse?
Yes, yes. Well, it is. I mean, I get to steal some of the gorgeousness of Judi Dench, and you talk about it and it gets shown and she talks about it, and I did write and thank to her, you know, that I can steal a little of your warmth and charm.
And what made you start?
And I haven't really done impersonations before, but
how did that happen?
It's just because I'm trying to portray a spectrum and a sort of, you know, section of society. It's just that celebrity is just so omnipresent, and now politicians, and so But I guess I kind of interpret them more than do sort of just, you know, basic impersonations, like imagining Angela Merkel thinks she's really dead sexy and Judi Dench, you know, shoplifts. And so it's just part of our world. And if you're trying to sort of portray the world, you just have to be celebrities and famous people too.
And now you've added Camilla Parker Bowles to the mix, among others. Also Grandma Middleton.
Yes.
Are your other characters, the not famous, based on real people? For example, last season's skit about immigrants were getting into the UK by clinging to the bottoms of people's vehicles.
Yeah, and the people that they clung to.
Your father had been was an immigrant.
Yeah, he was at Dunkirk. He came in on the...
Did you see the Dunkirk
picked
movie?
Picked up off the beaches. No, I haven't seen it yet. And my father was there. He got out during the sort of middle period when he was getting... He was injured as well, but he got on like a pleasure boat and was taken back to Britain and never left. That sketch was really, at that time, in the news all the time, you know, of desperate people clinging on to cars. And then I saw an interview with the couple that had this happen to them, and they'd gotten back to their home, I think, in the Midlands, and they looked out the window and they saw a man fall down from underneath their camper van. But the woman was so British about it, she went, "We didn't know whether to call the police or make him a sandwich." So we did both. And they ended up having a marvellous conversation with the man and helping him, and that was lovely story, an interesting story to me.
Now, you are something of an immigrant. You're a naturalized American citizen.
I am, yes.
Have you thought about doing some of the more interesting American women, Melania Trump, for example?
I think she's being covered quite well by others right now. I have to, you know, Kate McKinnon does such a brilliant job on Saturday Night Live, and I have to find my niche, you know, who I would like to be. So I guess because I'm... So that's the answer to that. Melania Trump, it's a pretty fantastic accent. Her rowing with Ivana this week, there's an accent off for you. "I did this accent before you." "No, I did the accent now and it's stronger than yours." "No, mine is stronger than yours. It should have an accent off." You know. But Saturday Night Live can do that one.
When you did Scotch comedy shows earlier, you often did characters of other races and ethnicities. Mm. Even in State of the Union in 2008, you did a Jamaican home health care nurse. Would that be possible today?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah, I thought about that. Isn't that funny? I mean, I did, and in the 80s, in the 90s, I was doing the body search girls at the airport, Shanisha and Halura. And I always had this great positive response because everybody knows, you know, knew those ladies or had met those kind of ladies. And my criteria is, if those people exist, if they talk like that, if they have lives like that, if things like that could happen to them, then I'm an actress, I'd love to do it. And it's like, you know, I saw Eddie Murphy be a white woman in the 80s, and I said, I'm going to be a black person. Why not?
I'm assuming the whole series has already been shot and edited. The one that we're about to see on HBO.
Yes.
How many will we have?
There are six, then hopefully there'll be more next year. But I'm doing a more immediate kind of show where I tape things 48 hours before the show goes out, so I can keep up with the news cycle that seems to change every 36 minutes. Life is just tumultuous right now, isn't it, Leonard? Do you find it so?
Well, it keeps me talking to different people.
Yeah. But isn't like the world particularly tumultuous right now?
It is, but yes. I have to end this.
Oh, Leonard,
no! Tracy Ullman's show will be airing on Fridays at 11 p.m. starting a week from tomorrow. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Oh, it's always lovely to see you. Thanks for having me.